This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can listen to our show on Pacifica radio stations and watch it on Free Speech TV. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on Sunday announced a long-anticipated decision to refuse permission for the Dakota Access Pipeline to cross under Lake Oahe in North Dakota. In a victory for the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, the Army said it will, quote, explore alternate routes for the pipeline crossing. Indigenous activists, calling themselves water protectors, have been on the front lines of the fight to preserve their water and land since April of this year. They've been subjected to a massive militarized police response and braved the freezing winter weather, determined to stand strong. 2,000 veterans have now offered their help to the movement. While the U.S. Army's decision is a huge victory for the tribe and a testament to the power of political action, it remains to be seen if the fight is over or still in the beginning stages. Energy Transfer Partners, the company building the pipeline, has said it will continue to build despite the Army Corps' decision. My guest is Simon Moya-Smith. He is the culture editor at Indian Country Today Media Network and a contributing writer at CNN.com. Welcome to the program, Simon.
Thanks for having me.
So you're in North Dakota. First, were you there when the announcement was discovered on Sunday at the camp? Do you know what sort of response there's been among people who've been on the front lines for months?
Yeah, no, I was there, and it's been a jubilation. No, this is a victory. We're recognizing it as a victory, but we're looking at it also like it's a Custer victory. When we defeated George Armstrong Custer, we celebrated that victory. We also knew that more were coming. That didn't end the threat to Native American well-being and our lives and our resources. So we're looking at it that way, but we're happy that this decision came, but we're also looking ahead because we know a Trump administration is just a couple months away.
Right. So we want to definitely talk about what to expect under Trump. But staying on this decision, first of all, how directly do you attribute this victory to the work of the water protectors? I mean, is this Obama doing the right thing because water protectors made him?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Water protectors. We have to give all credit to the water protectors, those that chain themselves to the machines, nonviolent direct action. They stayed out. Those that were arrested, also the ones that were arrested, those that were subjected to vicious dogs, those that were strip searched. We know that they were firing indiscriminately into the crowd. Many people were to get pulled back, or they were getting shot in the head. So this is definitely a consequence of the sacrifices of all the water protectors that put themselves in harm's way. So this isn't just an Obama. Him. He took a while. If you remember, he said that he wanted to wait and to see how it plays out. So when he said that, people were like, well, you know, that's very dangerous, especially with the militarized police force firing indiscriminate crowds, firing water cannons in freezing temperatures at people who were, you know, of course, not in ponchos prepared for that. So hypothermia set in. We have to give credit where credit is due, and that's the leadership, it's the water protectors, those that put themselves on the front line, organize those peaceful, prayerful, nonviolent direct actions.
So what does this decision mean first for the police presence and the police actions? Because while the U.S. Army Corps made this decision, the government and the Obama administration still has not acknowledged the violence that water protectors have been subject to. They haven't acknowledged it. And as far as I understand, have they pulled back since Sunday, since this decision came down?
Sure. Oddly enough, it was a weird sight to see, to go back to the front lines and to not see the police there, because they have been there. They were there with their armored vehicle and be there, standing there. So they did retreat. It was a weird sight, but they still left, of course. Well, if you walk to the front lines, there's still the razor wire, there's still the concrete barricade blocking that road. So it was very surreal. Yesterday was very surreal. But, you know, it's a celebration for the moment, for the time being. But we're still planning, we're still calculating, because again, as I mentioned, we know that we have a pro-pipeline president on his way, who also said he wants to resurrect the Keystone XL pipeline. Like I said in my column this morning, this fight is far from over. But we want the Obama administration, we want this to recognize the aggressive police violence and brutality against people who are exercising their freedom of speech, their freedom of assembly. And we want them to be held accountable for the attacks that they led against unarmed water protectors.
Unarmed water protectors. And for our audience, by the way, we apologize for the poor connection. It has been challenging to get a good connection from North Dakota, near where the protests are happening. So, Simon, let's talk about the fact that even if the pipeline will not cross under Lake Oahe, the tributary to the Missouri River that impacts many millions of people. Even if that does not happen, there's no talk of the pipeline project as a whole being canceled, right?
Right, right. Well, we're hoping that the environmental impact statement will halt it. We're hoping that it'll be so expensive to reroute it that they'll stop. That's what we're hoping, hitting them in, their pocketbooks, their bottom line, that's our approach, or it's been the approach of the leadership too, and the hope of the leadership. So yeah, and we know that, again, we're the United States is oil addicted. We know that this isn't the only line that is threatening water sources for people, not just indigenous people, but for all people, all Americans, and that it needs to be an ideological shift. There needs to be that change. So, of course, these billionaires, these oil and gas companies, want to continue to build these filthy, poisonous pipelines, threatening people's water because of money, for profit. So they're putting profit in front of people, in front of health, in front of the next generation, seven generations ahead. So we know that this pipeline right now is not dead, but we know it suffered a serious blow today, and we hope that that will continue. We hope that we can get the country to wean itself off of its addiction to oil and go toward the solar panels, solar energy, clean energy.
Now, what do you hope is it possible that this particular decision by the Army Corps of Engineers will delay the decision long enough to make it too expensive for the company to continue? Some had mentioned a January deadline, that if the company couldn't continue building and meet a particular deadline, that basically it's likely it might abandon the project?
That's our hope. That's our hope. We're hoping that they will abandon the project because it's so expensive, but we're hoping that will be the case for other pipelines across the country, so that we can stop these pipelines from being built, because they're not safe. Pipelines leak. Pipes leak. That's why we have plumbers, as it's been said many times over. And, again, non-renewable resources like water, drinking water, that are being threatened by these pipelines. And when they leak, they poison not only the water, but they poison the crops. And then, animals, of course, the livestock need to eat. The problem that we have is an ideological one. So we're hoping that it'll be so expensive that they'll stop this pipeline. And, of course, we're hoping that it's so expensive that pipelines aren't built anymore, and we can shift to healthy green energy.
Now, the Energy Transfer Partners has their response has been that they're not going to stop construction, that they're going to continue building despite the U.S. Army's decision. What does that mean? Are they counting on Trump coming into office?
Probably. I think that's what it is, because we know that Trump invested in this pipeline in particular. So that's their hope, right? They're waiting for the orange man to come in. But they're not going to stop, and we're not going to stop either. We haven't stopped for 524 years. For 524 years, that's been the narrative. We're going to do this to you, and you're going to take it. Well, we're not going to take it. And now we have this new technology called social media, where we can respond in real time and tell people what really are happening, and people are filming at the front line. So when Morton County sheriffs say that they were firing water cannons just to put out fires, no, you can see it on video that they were firing them at water protectors in freezing temperatures. So I know that they're going to continue to try to push this pipeline through because they've got him coming in, but at the same time, we're not going to stop either. And I believe that people are having this shift in consciousness when it comes to these pipelines, because they're realizing that it's us right now, but when will it be them? When will it be a threat to their water, to their communities, to the health and well-being of their children? So we're hoping that more people will recognize that right now this may be a fight going through Fort Laramie Treaty territory, threatening the Hunkpapa, the Lakota, the Lakota Nation. But we want people to bring it, and we want people to notice that these threats, at the end of the day, they want these pipelines, and it doesn't matter who they harm or who they affect. They just want to make money. They don't care about your health. They don't care about your well-being. They want to make money.
So specifically on the coming Trump presidency, I'm not sure if you know the details of how this would happen, but once the U.S. Army has made a decision, can a new president simply reverse that decision? Presumably he would replace, the folks at the top, possibly of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. I'm not sure if it's a president that appoints the people who lead that department, or his appointees appoint someone, et cetera, or they leave those leadership positions unchanged. But can a new president simply reverse a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers decision?
Oh, thinks he can, right? Because that's when he was saying that he wants to resurrect the Keystone XL pipeline that has since been killed. Right. So if he thinks he can do that with the Keystone XL pipeline, I believe he thinks he can do it here with the Dakota Access Pipeline. So whether or not he can or he can't, I can't say specifically, but we know that's his objective and his agenda. And when you have big money involved in this, when you have a pro-pipeline president, and when you have billionaires, oil and gas executives that want this, it gets, you kind of sit back and go, this might happen. So we have to be calculated. We have to be prepared. We have to stand our ground. And that's what we're doing here, and that's what the water protectors continue to do. So Trump protects the health and well-being of people when it comes to the pipelines, especially indigenous families and indigenous resources. So we have to look out for our kids. We know he's not going to look out for us. We know that the pipeline companies are looking out for the health and well-being of others. So we have to look out for ourselves. And we've been doing that, like I said, for 524 years, looking out for our well-being, our kids, looking out for the health and well-being of our water, of our resources. We're the rightful stewards of this land. We have to remember that Trump is a descendant of illegal immigrants. Even though he wants to build a wall, he has to recognize that he comes from a continent across an ocean. He's not indigenous to this land. We've been taking care of it for a long time, and we'll protect it against illegal immigrants like Donald Trump.
Simon...
They documented themselves. Let me put that out there. They documented themselves, right? That's what makes them illegal. We didn't give them the land. We didn't document them. They landed. They just said, we're citizens. No, you're not. They didn't come through us. We didn't give them land. We didn't document them. Illegal immigrants here are not brown. In this case, they're orange.
Simon, what has the arrival of veterans at Standing Rock meant? Last week we interviewed one of the vets with the group Veterans Stand for Standing Rock. She made it a pretty important point to say that they were there simply to offer their help and to basically be available for solidarity. And what has that been like?
Well, and we have to recognize that Native Americans, serve in the military at a higher population than
right.
Than people other demographics, right? So it's symbolic, but it's also, it shows that we are still protecting the people and this land that we have done since time immemorial. People want to ask, why do Native Americans go in the military? If you think back of George Armstrong Custer, the history between the American military and the Native Americans. Well, because Native Americans who joined the military, remember, this is still our land. It is invaded. It has been encroached on by, again, the descendants of illegal immigrants. But for Native Americans, when we look at this, we still see it as our ancestral land. This is our Italy. This is our Ireland. This is our Germany. We haven't left. So we're still protecting the land. We're still protecting the people. And that is our culture. That is our traditions. That's who we are as people. So the vets that came here stood in front and they said, look, we have an oath and our oath to protect the people. And they feel that the county sheriffs are being obviously aggressive, that they are stepping over the rights of the people that the military has been protecting and has been in the front line to protect across the globe. These riots of Native Americans and non-Native Americans have been trampled on by Morton County sheriffs, and they're here. The veterans here is symbolic gesture, but also to stand in front and say no more. You can't do this. We want to protect our people, and you're a threat to our people.
Now, finally, what is going to happen to the camp, Camp Sacred Stone? Are people going to basically say, all right, we won the victory and now we can go home? Or are people going to remain there? I mean, the weather is extremely cold. So first question, are people going to remain there? Second question, are they going to continue to confront the pipeline workers as they've been doing?
If the pipeline isn't built, if the pipeline construction has stopped, then no, there, you know, you can't, I mean, if there's no construction going, then there's, you know, construction workers, there's no construction workers to confront. So your first question, people aren't leaving. People are still here right now. It's just one of those things where, you know, again, this is our land. We're, you know, this is our treaty protected land. So some people may go home. Some people may go home for the holidays. Some may come back. We don't know. But at the same time, some people are here to stay because this is our land. This is Lakota land. This is the place that our blood and our family and our ancestry comes from. So that camp is going to remain. And whether or not it shrinks or grows, depending on the news and what happens, it's still a place that we have been on since time immemorial. We'll stay there and protect it. We'll protect the land, and we'll protect the kids, and we'll protect the water and our traditions, and we'll stand in solidarity with, we'll stand with us against the greedy pipeline corporations.
So the ask for the public at large so far had been to contact President Obama and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to do the right thing. That, and of course, the most importantly, the presence of water protectors and their actions seems to have worked. What do you think needs to happen now? What does the tribe, what do the water protectors want in an expression of solidarity from the broader American public who can't personally or physically be there but who want to support? Is there another specific thing they can do in terms of phone calls or specific things to demand?
Yeah, I mean, you can still, you know, still make the phone calls to the Army Corps of Engineers because, of course, they're still, you know, they still have to go through the environmental impact report.
Right.
But we can make small decisions every day, right? We can just small decisions, as Dave Archambault, the second, you know, chairman of the Standing Rock Sioux, said yesterday, we can how we can use energy. And I think that's what we also need to recognize. What we buy and what we consume feeds these oil companies. So we need to be cognizant of our everyday decisions. Because at the end of the day, this is a business decision on their part. So again, they want a return on their investment. But if we make the decision to live healthier, green lives and recognize that, you know, the planet doesn't need us, we need the planet, then that changes. That changes it in what we buy and what we consume and how we live our daily lives. It affects what these pipeline companies will do, right? And I think that's imperative that we notice that as we go forward, as we continue with our daily consumption, that we do or we don't feed the pipeline and their eagerness to continue to build these dangerous, leaky, oily snakes.
Well, Simon, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. What's the best place for people to read your writings?
Sure, you can go to Indian Country Today, so that's ICTMN.com. You can go to CNN, you can just look up my name, and I'm on Twitter, at Simon Moya Smith.
And we'll post links to those from our website later today. Best of luck to you, Simon.
Yeah, water is life. Thank you.
Simon Moya Smith is my guest. He's the culture editor at Indian Country Today Media Network and contributing writer at CNN. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/RUwithSonali.